Actually, I'm not at the Capitol. You know, this is one of the things about this situation is that the people that are negotiating are the minority leader of the Senate, Tom Bach, the minority leader of the House, which is Representative Paul Thiessen, the majority leader or Speaker of the House, Kurt Zellers, and the President of the Senate, which is Amy Koch, and then the governor, those five. And they are trying to work out, and then each of those representatives are then coming back and dealing with the caucus to try and find out what support there is for different proposals. And all week, we've been in conference calls, statewide conference calls, and themed that last night when a deal might be imminent, we got the call to get ready to come, and then things fell apart about 10 o'clock.
So a number of people have already asked me this morning, what's next?
Pain.
But after the pain, what are there? Is there any kind of roadmap, Representative Dill, that you follow from this point on to try to get things started again?
We've been trying to make a roadmap since January. The governor, we have to go back to the basic configuration of a democracy, in that we have the judicial branch, the administrative or executive branch, and the legislative branch. And the legislative branch passed all of the bills to make state government, and they were sent to the governor, and the governor vetoed them. Now, as most of your constituents know, I voted against virtually many, many of those bills because I knew what those cuts that were proposed by the majority party would do to our local communities, to our hospitals, to our nursing homes, to our schools, and those types of things. And so I disagreed with the bills, but the majority party had enough votes to pass all of those without any real negotiations between the other party at the legislative level. They were sent to the governor. He vetoed them. And since then, essentially no progress has been made. Now, last night, there was $1 billion laid on the table of different kinds of revenue by the majority party, and that included a lot of borrowing. For example, passing tobacco bonds, that proposed tobacco bond, $400 million, that would then be paid off with tobacco taxes that we collect. That isn't a solution. That's kicking the can down the road even further. And that another part of that solution was to defer a huge amount of additional revenue or additional money that we would pay to your school districts by delaying the payment on July 1st. Again, which would make the total somewhere in the $1 billion range that we have deferred that your school districts haven't received. And I think that anybody in the WTIP listing area will understand the situation at your local schools, that then forces local schools to go out and borrow.
I understand the governor also trimmed his tax on the wealthy a little bit, too, as a move in that direction.
He didn't change the rate. What he did was he upped the threshold for those making $1 million a year and more. That was the final offer. Well, again, that's a piece of an offer that was in development. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the final offer, but it was a piece in the element, and the folks have said that there's just not going to be any additional increase in revenue over these borrowing schemes, things of that nature. And, you know, let me say this, that it's very easy for people that are in the middle to lower income level, such as myself and many in our district, to say tax the rich. Tax the rich. That's the easy way out of this. But that isn't the right approach. The right approach is to do a statistical, analytical evaluation of why we would tax anyone, additionally or less. And I want to direct your viewer or your listeners to the Minnesota Department of Revenue website. And that website has on it a link to a study called the Tax Incidence Study. And that last study was done by the Plenty Administration. And there will be another one done by the Dayton Administration. But that study shows that those in the top decile, the ninth decile of income, those people roughly $250,000 and up in filers, pay about 9% of their total income in state and local taxes. They pay about 9% of their income in state and local taxes. The other deciles that are lower, down to moderate and middle and lower income, pay about just over 12% of their income in state and local taxes. That means sales tax, property tax, local Cook County tax, all of those types of things. And that is the reason that we would increase taxes on the more wealthy folks. It's a fairness issue. It's not just because they have the money. That is not something that I support.